Hello, welcome to Standing on the Truth. This is Tina Wanamaker with That I May Know Him Ministries. Today we're going to be talking about God as Jehovah Rapha, or God our healer. The first place we're going to be looking at this is found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is the first mention of God as Jehovah Rapha, or God our healer. Let's go ahead and pray before we begin. Father, we come before you. We ask for your words. We ask for your agenda to be completed. We ask for your will and for your way. Holy Spirit, come and reveal what you desire to be revealed. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, God our cure, God our remedy. Let's go ahead and take a look in Exodus chapter 15. And what we find is in Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel have been freed from bondage in Egypt. They've been brought out, they've been delivered or set free, and now they've already gone through the Red Sea crossing, where God miraculously opened up the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. As soon as the children of Israel were passed through the Red Sea and the Egyptians were following them, the sea came back down upon the chariots and the horsemen of Egypt, and all of them perished. Moving on from there, we find the Song of Moses. And this song, this is at beginning of chapter 15. This song is just praising God for what he's done. And then we move into the Song of Miriam, which is the same thing. And then we move into a new place in verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, or bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you," or I am Jehovah Rapha. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. We're going to move back to verse 22 and break this down a little. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days, and they couldn't find any water. They were thirsty. So then they came to Marah. They came to this place that had a source of water, but the water couldn't be drank because it was bitter. And because the water was bitter, it was unfit for drinking. They called the place Marah, which means bitter. And in that place of the bitter waters, of bitterness, the people began to complain against Moses. And they began to say, "What are we going to drink?" Moses, what have you done to us? You brought us out, God delivered us, and now we're going to perish from thirst. So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When Moses cast the tree into the waters, then the waters were made sweet. They were made fit for drinking. And so there, Moses made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there, God tested them. God tested them. And he said this. He's saying to them, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord and do what is right in his sight. In essence, what he's saying, if you will listen to me and you will obey me, and then it says, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. And what this is saying in essence is, if you will hear me and you will obey me and you will guard my word and not change it. Guard my word and don't allow it to be changed. Don't change it yourself. Keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. What diseases did God bring on the Egyptians? Well, they had just come out of Egypt, and there were 10 plagues that were brought on the Egyptians. That's what that makes us think of, the diseases that were brought on the Egyptians. If you obey, if you listen, if you obey, if you keep, and the word for keep, it means to guard. If you guard all of his statutes, if you're a good steward of the things God's giving you and how he's speaking to you, then God will not put any of the plagues on you. He won't do that. And this brings us over to the thought that sometimes a source of illness can be from God. There are three sources of illness or disease, if you want to say it like that. The first one is natural. There's a natural source of illness or disease, and that's because the curse was placed back in Genesis chapter 3. And with the curse upon man, upon the world, sin and illness and suffering and death entered. And so there's a natural course of events. There's a natural source of illness. Sometimes people just get sick because we live in a fallen world. The second type of illness source is the one that we think of here, and that's the illness source that's from God, and it's due to disobedience. We can find a reference for this in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 22 and 28. We can also bring to mind Saul, King Saul. When he disobeyed God, God sent a distressing mental spirit upon him. That's interesting to consider. And then finally, the third source of illness is from the enemy. We can find a reference for this in Luke chapter 13. There was a woman who was bent over and in no way could raise herself up. And it says that she was bound by the enemy all those years. She was bound by the enemy. So the three sources of illness, again, natural due to the curse, the fall of man. The second one is from God himself due to disobedience. And the third one is from the enemy, those that are bound by the enemy in some capacity. And that leads to a physical illness or suffering. So here, what this section is saying is that if we obey God, if we heed his commands, if we don't change them to suit us, if we're good stewards of what he's giving us, if we're listening to him and following him, then he's going to place none of those things upon us that were placed on the Egyptians because of their disobedience. We won't be getting like what King Saul got, that distressing spirit from from the Lord. We won't receive any of that. And this comes down to the idea of blessing and cursing. If you do good, God's going to bless you. But if you don't, then he won't. Blessing and cursing. We find this idea all throughout the Bible. Over and over and over we find this. Some may refer to it as the principle of sowing. You'll reap what you sow. And we have a garden area out back, and the kids and I will go out and do some gardening. And we like to plant vegetables and some fruits, and also the girls will do flower gardening. And sometimes they'll go out and they'll put seeds in that they don't know what's going to come up. And they'll get a surprise when those flowers begin to come up, and then they can finally see what they are. But we, if we're thinking of sowing a seed, if I'm going to sow a seed, if I'm going to sow a cucumber into the ground, then I'm going to get a cucumber out of it. In the same way, if we sow to righteousness, if we sow into the spiritual, then we are going to reap spiritual benefit and blessing. But if we sow to the flesh, then that is what we're going to reap. That's what we're going to get back. That's the principle of sowing. What are we sowing in the ground of our hearts? What is it that we're allowing into our minds and hearts? Are our words to others, to those around us, are those sowing good seed? Are we putting good seed in the ground as those words are coming out of our mouth? Or is it the opposite? If we're sowing good seed, God will bless us. But if we're being disobedient to the Lord, he will not bless us. And that even opens us up to things like King Saul experienced, where there's a distressing spirit sent upon him because of his disobedience to God. God laid some things out that Saul knew. He knew. He made the sacrifice when he should not have made the sacrifice. He should have waited for Samuel. He was told to wait for Samuel. And when Samuel didn't arrive in the time that he felt he should have, then King Saul took it into his own hands, even though he knew that God had made it clear to his people that he should not do that. And so King Saul was not guarding the word of truth. He changed it because he wanted to do what he wanted to do. We can't do that. We need to guard it. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to be obedient to him. And so the name of the place was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses. We talked about that. And so what did Moses do? This is interesting. It says Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Something that we see here with Moses is that Moses asked God. He cried out to the Lord, "Lord, what should I do?" And the implication is that Moses listened. He heeded. He listened to God. And then he obeyed God. The Lord showed him a strategy. Showed him a tree. Prompted him to put that tree into the waters to make the water sweet. So what we see here is something that we can use as well. The first thing we see is ask God. If we come into a problem, we should ask God. Number one, ask God. Number two, listen to Him. Listen to the Lord. And number three, we should obey what He says. Ask, listen, obey. And it really is that simple. Ask, listen, and obey. So the Lord showed him a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. God did a miracle. When that tree was put into the waters went from being undrinkable, unfit for drinking, bitter waters, into sweet waters that were fit for drinking and bringing nourishment to the people. So there, he made a statute and an ordinance for them. God made a statute and an ordinance for them, and he tested them. And then he said, if you do these things, I'm going to bless you. Because I am the Lord who heals you. I'm Jehovah Rapha. The word here for Jehovah, it means the self-existent or eternal God. The self-existent or eternal God. Rapha means the one who heals, the one who mends, or the one who cures. And in this case, God cured bitterness. God cured the bitter waters. He healed the bitter waters. Sometimes we're going to find ourselves in places of bitterness, just like the children of Israel did. Sometimes we're going to come to a place and we will find that it's bitter. We've been disappointed, perhaps. Last week, I was talking with a woman. The Lord brought about a divine opportunity, specifically placing me in a spot and her in a spot at one moment, which led to an incredible encounter with the Lord between us. And this woman ended up sharing with me that a few years back her mother had died and that she couldn't accept the reality that her mother had died, that she just got stuck in that place, that it became a place of bitterness for her, a place of disappointment, where she felt that God had let her down. She couldn't get over it. She couldn't face it for what it was. And in that place, I asked God, what do I do? Holy Spirit, show me how to minister to her. And I felt led to encourage her to surrender that to the Lord. And she did. And she moved out of that place of bitterness to accepting the loss of her mother. And in doing so, she gained the peace of Christ. And she shared with me that she had not experienced the peace of Jesus in a long time. And that's what God wants to do for us when we find ourselves in a place of bitterness. He wants to cure us. He wants to heal us. He wants to mend our hearts. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals us. The beautiful thing about it is God doesn't leave us in the place of bitterness. He shows up in that place. And we see that here also in the last part of this section of scripture. Verse 27 says of Exodus 15, 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped by those waters. The people of Israel went from a place of bitterness into a place of blessing. God did not leave them in Marah. He didn't leave them in bitterness. He moved them from the place of bitterness into the place of blessing. How does God do that for us? God still does that today. He moves us from Marah to Elim. But how does that happen? That happens when we do what that lady that I was talking with did. When we surrender it, when we acknowledge that place of bitterness, and we say we don't want to stay there anymore. Or we say, God, I see it. I see the place of bitterness in my life. I see the place of disappointment. And when we get honest about it with God, and we say, God, maybe even I'm disappointed with you because so-and-so died and I prayed that they wouldn't. Or I'm disappointed in this area of my life or this. Or I've become bitter towards this person. Or whatever that might look like in each one of our lives. We have to get honest with God. Because he can't show up as Jehovah Rapha until we are. But as soon as we acknowledge that we've been in a place of bitterness, as soon as we're honest with God about how we've been feeling and we tell him this, then God is going to show up as Jehovah Rapha, as the God who cures you of your bitterness. He's still the same God today as he was then. He hasn't changed. There is no shadow of turning within him. None. And if you want him to show up as Jehovah Rapha for you, all you have to do is acknowledge your place of bitterness that you've been in and give it to him and ask him to come. That can go back to what Moses did in the verses above. Ask God. God, come to me like this. I need to be healed. I need your cure for bitterness. Ask God. Then listen to him. See what he has to say. Perhaps there's something that you need to do. Perhaps there's a step that he wants you to take. Maybe that is apologizing to someone in your life. Or maybe it's acknowledging an area of sin. I don't know what that might be. But you listen, you ask, you listen, and then you obey what he's saying. You obey what he's saying. That lady that I met by divine appointment last week, at the leading of the Holy Spirit, she asked God. She listened to what he was saying as we were praying. And then she obeyed by laying all of that down at his feet. And then he came in as Jehovah Rapha, as God, her healer, as the cure for her bitterness and disappointments. Sometimes we think that we can't share with God if we got disappointed with him or if we're mad at him. Years ago, I got a call from a lady, and she says, Tina, I need your help. And I said, what's going on? And she said, I've been in my word daily, and then I go to prayer after that, and I can only get so far. I can't get beyond a certain point in prayer, and I don't know what is blocking it. And so I began to ask, Holy Spirit, would you show me the questions to ask? So there's that three-way conversation that I was having between this woman and the Holy Spirit, God. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, led me in asking specific questions, and pretty soon it came out that she had been angry with God for a long time, a couple of years, regarding something that had happened in their lives, something she didn't understand, that hadn't gone well in their lives. But she had felt that she could only share the good things with God and not the bad things. She had been raised that she should only share the positive emotions with God and not the negative. When we only share the positive, where does the negative go? What if we're struggling with something? Well, that means we just bottle it up inside of us and push it down somewhere, but it's still there. So I encouraged her that when she begins to talk to God, that she should keep talking, and that God wanted it all. He didn't want only the good. He wanted the bad and the in-between too. He wants it all. God's big enough. And he wants us to bring our disappointments to him. If we are feeling upset with God about something, he wants us to bring those things to him. Think of it like a father and a child. If the child was upset with the father, of course the father or the parent would want the child to come to them and talk to them so they could work it out, so that they could have a good relationship again. And so the gal that called me, she did that. She got honest with God about how she was feeling, that she had been disappointed, that she also was in a place of bitterness. And I'll tell you what, as soon as she did that, she entered into that depth of intimacy again. And she hasn't held back any type of emotion from God anymore. She doesn't do that anymore. God's will is for us to move from Mara to Elim, from bitterness to blessing. And that only happens, once again, as we recognize and get honest with God. We ask him, then we listen, and then we step out in obedience to what he's saying. And perhaps that would be through surrender. God, I give it over to you. I'm going to be honest with you about what's going on in my heart. And now I'm going to give it to you. And then God moves us out of the place of bitterness. He shows up as Jehovah Rapha and he heals us. He heals us. That's part of who he is. That's part of God's character. And oftentimes God reveals his character to us in a place of crisis. Here the people were, no water for 3 days. That was a place of crisis. God showed up on their behalf. He met them there and he revealed himself as the God who cures them of their bitterness, who heals them. So when we move into a place of crisis, we can begin to look for ways that God is going to reveal himself to us, that he'll reveal more of his character, more of his goodness, more of his mercy, and more of his love. Let me pray for us. Father, please deliver your people from a place of bitterness into a place of blessing as they get honest with you and pour it out before you. And as they surrender, reveal your character to them and more to me. Me too, God. We love you and we trust you, God. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining me.